And though the sheltering walls are thin, may they be strong to keep hate out and hold love in. Have some of you seen our new sign out front? It's the one that Bonnie Floyd gave us, and she gave versions of it to some of you that says in English and in several other languages, hate has no home here. This is our calling as a faith community these days, isn't it? To stand up for what is right, to proclaim our commitment to inclusion and diversity, and to invite and encourage others to join with us in affirming these values. I want to encourage you to think about those words we just sang, not only as describing the church as an institution or our building, but to actually imagine them describing you as a person and us as a community of people. I don't know about you, but these days I'm increasingly mindful of my own limitations and failings. And so this is one of my prayers. And though the sheltering walls are thin, may they be strong to keep hate out and hold love in. It can be both a blessing and a curse to be thin-skinned. And I wonder, anybody else feeling thin-skinned or vulnerable or tired these days? Last Sunday, I mentioned that one day recently during the week, I was heading off to church only to discover that my car had a dead battery. And once I dealt with that on my way here, that little red light on the dashboard came up that was saying, "Warning, warning, you're almost out of gas." And my wife, Tracy, seeing my consternation about this, said, "Can you see that these are symbols for your life right now? Running out of gas, a dead battery? There are signs all around if we will be willing to pay attention to them." And I wonder, in your lives, what are the signs that you need to be paying attention to? There's a saying that preachers preach the sermons that they themselves need to hear. Hopefully, a few other folks need to hear them too. From what you tell me, and from what I can observe, I'm not the only one who's feeling somewhat stretched and stressed these days. The question is, what are we going to do about it? But I have to ask you, aren't you, like me, worried these days about immigrants in our neighborhoods and cities who are living in fear of being rounded up and deported? Parents and children split apart? Aren't you worried about transgender folks and how some politicians' obsession with bathrooms, of all things? Can we just say, like, people just want to go to the bathroom to use the bathroom? I really try not to be partisan, but I will share that somebody shared the statistic this week that more people have been molested or bothered in bathrooms. More people have been arrested for bothering people in bathrooms who are Republican elected leaders perpetrating those acts than transgender people. It's a statistic, it's a fact. And so I worry about those folks who are already at risk and how this rhetoric will only embolden those who are inclined to be bullies. And aren't you worried also about race in our country and how power continues to be used against people of color? If you have any doubt about this, then please watch the documentary 13th on Netflix, which we screened here last Sunday. It's a searing indictment of our country's history of race and a film that we really all ought to see. I'm concerned that too many folks these days are intent on framing our diversity as a weakness rather than as our strength, on trying to take us back to a time when our country was more hateful and less caring, when we were more inclined to distrust those who were seen as different. The stakes are high these days, and there's plenty to be worried about. There's so much that we could be doing. And at the same time, I'm mindful of how overwhelming this all can be. So overwhelming at times. And so I'm acutely aware that we need ways to be grounded, ways to tend our own souls as we work to repair the world. But let me be clear, I'm not saying or encouraging you in retreating into your own blissed out bubble. Mindfulness must be engaged, Thich Nhat Hanh reminds us. I'm saying it is from this place of being grounded that we will then be able to help heal and bless our world. So my question for you this morning is, do you know how to do this? How to drop down into the wells that will refresh you? How to touch the sources of your strength? One of my prayers this week has been these words from St. Augustine, who said, "You have made us for yourself, Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." These days, I'm finding it essential practice to rest in God, in that mystery which is more than I can understand or imagine. To rest in that presence so I'm then able to show up as I can for what's happening right now. We each need to know how to do this, how to be centered at home in our bodies and at home in the world, right? I don't know how to do this other than starting by slowing down, being quiet for a change. It's what Pablo Neruda is talking about in our reading this morning. For once on the face of the earth, let's not speak in any language. Let's stop for 1 second and not move our arms so much. What I want, he writes, should not be confused with total inactivity. Life is what it is about. I want no truck with death. If we were not so single-minded about keeping our lives moving and for once could do nothing, perhaps a huge silence might interrupt this sadness of never understanding ourselves and of threatening ourselves with death. Is this a diagnosis of our days and our culture, or what? So intent on keeping moving because of this sadness of not understanding ourselves, so much that we are threatening ourselves with death. I was at a seminar last week about doing anti-racism work, and the teacher said that anyone who is going to do this difficult work needs to start off by getting in touch with their own story, with their own sense of pain and loss. Whatever our skin color, getting in touch with the loss that comes from living in a culture that has been defined by race from the start. It's deep work, not something you can do in a day. This month, when we've been contemplating evil, both the forces at work in the world as well as our own potential for doing harm, I've been feeling the weight of all this, the heaviness of it, of how much it all matters, whether we are going to leave this world better than we found it or worse. And these words from the poet Adrian Rich come to mind. My heart is moved by all I cannot save. So much has been destroyed. The danger of living with this truth, this awareness that so much has been destroyed, is at least twofold. One could easily be overwhelmed by all the bad news and sink into despair. You know this is possible. And on the other hand, one could become inflated, self-important, develop a Messiah complex even, trying to save the world. You see this sometimes, right? Both ways lead to isolation. And neither of these extremes, a depression or an inflation, will prove to be very useful if you want to change things for the better. The only way I know to lead a helpful life and a happy life is to come down to earth, to be grounded where we ought to be, as the Shakers say. Sometimes you choose this and you practice this intentionally, and sometimes it's thrust upon you, which is how I'm feeling these days, pushed down to the ground where I ought to be. I found myself thinking more than a couple of times this week about our folks who are right now in Nicaragua, working with the poor in that hot and dusty land. I think we all need to find ways to get our hands dirty, helping others, doing work that is real, getting in touch with that which will nourish and sustain us. Thousands of years ago, the psalmist wrote about this, about our human condition, our struggle to do good in the face of evil. Listen to these traditional words from Psalm number 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. But the wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now listen to a contemporary improvisation on the same psalm from the UU minister Christine Robinson. Happy are they who know good and do good. Their love for the good feeds them continually. They are like trees planted near the river, whose roots go deep and wide. They thrive, bear fruit in season, and weather drought without wilting. Those who are not so grounded will blow around like dry leaves in the wind. Root yourself in good and live. You know, we always have choices. Whatever our circumstances, we always have choices about how we are going to live. And so I ask you, do you want to be somebody with a perpetually dead battery, always running on empty? Do you want to be somebody running around like Chicken Little, crying, "The sky is falling"? Or do you want a different image that describes your life. A tree planted by the river, grounded and rooted there, well watered, providing shade and sustenance. Yes, bending when the winds blow, but not breaking. In the face of all the losses of our lives, Adrian Rich says, I have to cast my lot with those who age after age, perversely, with no extraordinary power, reconstitute the world. My spiritual companions, if you are feeling dry and dusty these days, if your primary emotions are fear or despair, take heart. Look around you and see that you are not the only one. We're in this together. These days, let's remember that, and let's practice asking one another for help, and practice reaching out our hands to help others. Let's practice remembering that we are part of a great love which will never let us go. If you're someone who prays, I hope these days you will pray not only for others, but for yourself. And if you are feeling overwhelmed these days, I urge you to take control of what you can. I humbly suggest that you might find it quite helpful to turn off your computer and the evening news, step away from the overwhelming amount of data out there. And instead, I suggest you do things, tangible things, like showing up where you feel called to show up, offering a kind word, a helping hand. Our evening service we call Vespers starts up again this week. If you can, come and be part of that and feed your soul. There's so much good work that lies ahead for us. We need to be well-watered and strong-souled, flexible and adaptable for the living of these days. May this be our prayer. Though these sheltering walls are thin, may they be strong enough to keep hate out and hold love in. And finally, I just want to remind you that this being grounded cannot be a one-day project. It has to be a way of life, right? An ongoing commitment to be in touch with those sources that will nourish and sustain us, so we know how to touch down into those depths. So then we can do our part to help one another and keep on moving forward, never turning back, never turning back. Amen.